We'll get into this. This is going to be a good word. I'm excited about it. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We bless you, Lord. We thank you so much for your grace today. We thank you for your anointing. Father, I thank you for speaking to hearts today, Lord. Those that are watching online through Facebook, those that are here, those that may be listening later, Lord, I just ask that you would just touch their hearts, Lord. Especially those that need to know you. Father God, that you would help them to see how good of a God you really are. Father, that you would reveal yourself to them, Father. So we just praise you. We love you. We thank you for Resurrection Sunday. We thank you, Jesus, for everything that you did on the way to the cross, including what you did on the cross. Thank you for being willing to die and be buried in a tomb. And 3 days later, to resurrect from the dead, just like as you said you would. Father God, and when Jesus, when you did that, you went up and you sat at the right hand of God and you put us right there with you. So Father, we just praise you. We thank you for resurrection life today. We thank you for the power of God touching people's lives, ministering to people's hearts. Father, I thank you we come today with our hearts open, receptive, and responsive, ready to take responsibility for the word that you have given us, Father God, that the word you are giving us today. And we just thank you. We activate it in our lives. We pray, God, that it would just be, we would meditate it and dwell on it and think about it, talk about it, till it becomes assimilated into us. It becomes part of who we are. So, Father, we just thank you for God inside mindedness and consciousness today. We love you, Lord. We bless you. And we thank you for victory. Thank you for your anointing upon these lips of clay. I thank you for your anointing upon my vocal cords, Lord, that you would help me to speak your word uncompromised, unhindered by the outside force, but it would land on each and every heart, custom fit just for them. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. So good to see each and every one of you. Some new faces. Welcome. This chokes me up to welcome you. But we'd just like to welcome each and every one of you to the Difference Church. We always say around here, you may have been a visitor on your way to church, but when you crossed the threshold into this building, you became family. So welcome to the Difference Church family, and most importantly, welcome to the family of God. So we just pray that you'll be blessed as we try to do our very best by the grace of God to serve you today, and you're welcome back anytime. Amen? All right. Hallelujah. And all the rest of you folk that's been here a while, we love you too. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Glory to God. Well, I've been just pondering Easter, Resurrection Sunday, and what that all stands for and what that's all about. And one of the things that really stands out to me is what today is really about is an exchange, isn't it? So I'm calling this message today the Great Exchange. You know, we've been hearing a lot in the news and all this, the Great Reset, the Great this or whatever, you know. But there is nothing greater than what I'm going to talk about today. The Great Exchange. And you're like, what do you mean by the Great Exchange? Well, what does it mean to exchange? Well, you give one thing and you get something in return of that, right? So as we unpackage this today and unfold this, I think you're going to be blessed. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, you haven't made that decision to follow Christ, this could be the day of exchange for you. Hey, man, this could be a day that you can say, you know what? I'm tired of doing this in my own ability. I'm tired of trying to fix everything myself. I need Jesus, and I'm going to take him into my life today. Amen. We had a tremendous service last Sunday. At the end of the service, a young man that we've been believing God for gave his life to Christ. And man, I was like elated. Glory to God. So I'm so excited for him and been texting back and forth with him a little bit this week. And God is doing some amazing things. Amen. Well, go with me to Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. Well, in Romans chapter 5, as we begin to talk about this great exchange, let's take a look at this. In verse 17, it says, for the sin of this one man, Adam. How many are aware that because of Adam and Eve's sin, they ushered in sin into the whole world? Now, I was talking to, talking to a few people after, two or three people after Connect Group on Wednesday night. No, it was after our Bible school class on Thursday night. And we was just sitting around talking, and we began to talk about how when Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't just fall a notch down from where they were. They fell to the bottom of the ranks. But when Jesus came not just to get us forgiven for our sins, but to bring us back to the top of where we're supposed to be. Because God has called us, you hear me say this frequently here, God has called us to live life on a level that the world is not familiar with. And here's the point, the thing is that the world is used to people being religious. But they're not so used to people being really spiritual. Now, I'm not talking about getting so, what they say, you're being so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good. That's actually not possible. To be so spiritually minded. Now, you get people that do some goofy things. Well, that's not being spiritually minded. That's being emotional. Allowing things to affect their emotions so much that they're not thinking about anything else or anybody else. But, Yes. All right. So anyway, but God has called us to live life on a level that the world goes, whoa. Anybody know what this means? Right? Kind of blows your mind, right? That's the level God's called his body to live on, right? But what I've come to understand is you cannot live life on that level no matter how much we talk about it. You can't live your life on that level if you do not realize who you are in Christ. You cannot live your life on that level if you still feel like your past sins is haunting you. So I want to teach you today about the great exchange, exchanging your old nature for the nature of God. I can't think of anything else that more important to speak on Easter, which Easter's all about, Resurrection Sunday's all about. Jesus took on our sin to make us righteous. Like totally righteous, dude. Right? We're going to get to that verse here in just a little bit, but let's read it. I like having fun when I'm preaching. I hope that's okay. All right, so here we go. So verse 17 says, "For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater." I said, "Even greater." I like it when people make noise while I'm preaching. It's okay. All right? Somebody's like, I don't want to ag you on. You might go too long. Okay, well, just ag me on anyway. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. His gift. Now, one of the words that stands out in this verse is, other than righteousness, is gift. It is a gift of righteousness that he gives us. In other words, a gift is not something that you work for. You don't do something to earn a gift. You just simply receive a gift. It's something that it costs you nothing to get, but you just freely receive. Hallelujah. Excuse me if I end up preaching myself happy, but this is amazing stuff. But what's crazy about it is as you preach things like this to the body of Christ has gotten to this point where they're almost like, so? And? Can you tell me something exciting? It's like, hello? Why don't you reverence the Word of God? He just told you that he gave you. You could not make yourself good enough. You could not do, you can help 5,000 elderly women across the street with all of their groceries and their little puppy dog, and it still ain't going to do you any good in making you righteous. People like to compare what they've done to how good they are. You know, and people criticize people like us who realize who we are in Christ, that I am the righteousness of God. Oh, you're just, oh, listen to that, this self-righteous self of yours. No, it ain't got nothing to do with me. I promise you that. Because if it's just me, I'm just a messed up dude. But I'm telling you, I look at the blood of Jesus, and I see that God sees me not in myself, but he sees me through the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for me on that cross, and I'm able to go glory to God. Now I no longer have to live in shame. No longer. At all. Ever. Why? Because I'm not looking at my works. I'm looking at what Jesus did on the cross for me. And he brought us back to such a level. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, and he created us to be a little lower than the angels. But that's not, that word angels don't mean angels like we think of angels. It actually means God created us to be a little lower than Elohim. God made us just a little lower than himself. So, man, oh, I would love to be an angel one day. That would be a demotion for you. God has called us, called angels to serve us and then doing the work for God. Amen. Glory to God. Now, some of this may be tight for some of you, but it's going to be right. It's going to be okay. I'm listen to me. I'm not giving you my opinion of the scriptures. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Hallelujah. All right. Go with me to Genesis chapter 3, all the way back to the beginning. A lot of pages in between where we just were and where we're going, but go all the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, and I want to read this to you. And you're going to see some things in here that you're probably going to see, just like I have, you see yourself in this verse as well. And just about everybody, really. But in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, at that moment, this is talking about, so just to catch you up, God had told him, "You can of every tree in the garden you can eat, but of this one tree in the middle of the garden, you do not touch this tree, because in the day that you eat of the tree, that you will die." And the serpent comes up and says, "Oh, come on, Eve. Are you really going to die? No, God just wants you, God don't want you to be as smart and as wise and all-knowing as he is. Trying to make her think that she wasn't something that she already was." Right? All right, so that catches you up a little bit. And the Bible says, and as she gave some to her husband who was right there with her. Everybody likes to give Eve the bad rap, but Adam was sitting there playing his Game Boy or something. I just aged myself, didn't I? That's the last thing I had. Playing his PlayStation or his, what are they called today? Xbox, whatever. My son's going to nail me for this later because he has them all and I don't even know what they're called. But anyways, but look at this. So there Adam's sitting right there. So let's catch it up in verse 7. It says, at that moment, their eyes were open. They ate of the fruit that they were not supposed to eat. And the Bible says this, at that moment, their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame. Think about this. This is people, Adam and Eve, they had never felt shame. They had never sinned up to this point. They had never, what does sin mean? This means to miss the mark. It means to disobey God. Right? It doesn't matter how big or small you think a sin is. Missing the mark is missing the mark. Right? So he says here, he said, at that moment their eyes were open and suddenly they felt shame at their nakedness. Well, why were they naked? Because they were covered with the glory of God. And then when they sinned, that glory was removed, which that's what sin does. And then now they realize how vulnerable and exposed they were, right? And then it says this, So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. And humanity has been doing that ever since, trying to, well, I made a mistake, so if I can just make enough money over here, it'll make up for that mistake. If I can just find another relationship, that'll cover the mistake I made in this one. If I can just. We've made it all about I. What is the center letter of the word sin? I. It's all about you. And when I say it's all about you, I'm not just talking about all about your mistake, but it's all about our own efforts to try to make something right that is absolutely impossible to make right yourself. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came and died on a cross and allowed his precious pure blood to be shed for our sin. Because no amount of blood of bulls and goats would cover it. No amount of blood of... The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that the priests had to every year come back and go through the same shedding of blood to cover the mistakes, to cover the mistakes of the last year. But when Jesus came and died, he came and died once for all. And his blood dealt with sin past, present, and any mistake you might make in the future. Amen. That's some good news. So he says here, when the evening of the, here they are, they cover them. Verse 8, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife, Adam and Eve, heard the Lord God walking in the garden. So they ran up to God and said, God, we made a mistake. No, they didn't do that, do they? And we don't do that, do we? When we make a mistake, I don't want to go to church. I don't feel like I'm right. We run from God. Instead of running to him. I was talking to Heather just the other night, and whoever I was talking to the other night after that Bible school class, and we were talking about these things. And I always wonder, God, what might have happened? What might God have done if instead of Eve blaming or Adam blaming Eve, oh, Lord, it's that woman you gave me. And then Eve's like, it was that serpent that was in the garden. He deceived me. What might have happened if Adam and Eve, once they realized that they were naked, because now they know the glory's gone. And when they began to feel that shame, if they would have just ran to God and said, God, we messed up. Watch this. This is awesome. This is awesome here. Now watch this. He goes on to say, so here they are. They're walking through the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord called to the man, where are you? Where are you? Now, how many here are aware that God knows everything? God wasn't looking for information. God didn't go, oh, Adam, my navigation system broke. Where'd you go? I mean, God wasn't looking for information. What God was trying to do is he was asking him, Adam, it wasn't as much of a question as it was a statement. God was going, Adam, Eve, you're not in the position that I left you. Your spiritual position. Because remember, let me tell you what that position was. In the beginning, God created man and he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, to be like us, to think like us, to act like us. Who is he talking about? God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Let's create man in our image. Well, now that they sin, they're no longer in that position. They've lost their authority. They've lost their position. They're no longer in that place God put them. So when God says, where are you? He's like, Adam, you're not where I left you. Of course, God knew exactly what had happened. But he was trying to get Adam and Eve to see where they were. The reason you're feeling that shame is you're no longer in that position that God has for you. The reason you're feeling that guilt is because you're no longer in the position God has for you. So God says, I got another plan. I'm going to send my son, Jesus, to die on the cross, that I will bring them back to the garden. To bring them back to the garden. Hallelujah. I mean, let's see if I copied that. There was such a cool thing on Facebook the other day. Let me see if I copied it. It would fit so well right here. Let me see here. Get out of the way. Move it. All right. So did I save it? No, it wasn't there. All right, let's go back. Where's all my Facebook junk stuff? All right. Watch this. It's called Good Friday Reversals. We're talking about exchange. Jesus goes to the garden to be obedient to the Father, undoing Adam and Eve's disobedience in the garden. Jesus goes to the garden to be obedient. Remember, he went to the garden to pray. So Jesus goes to the garden to be obedient to the Father, undoing Adam and Eve's disobedience in the garden. Adam and Eve hides behind a tree, naked, covered in shame. Jesus hangs on a tree, naked, and conquers shame. Isn't that good? Adam and Eve begin in paradise, but are forced outside the gates due to the curse. Jesus dies outside the gates, but ends up in paradise due to the cross. One more. Adam and Eve's sin ushered a curse of thorns. Jesus wears a crown of thorns as he ushered in salvation from sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So what is it that righteousness does for us that maybe many people don't understand? Here it is. You ready? It's like a landlord. Anybody ever had a landlord? If you are a landlord, it's okay. But right? What happens? You get behind in your rent, and you hear the landlord walking down the hall or walking by your property. You're out in front, you're doing something, you look up, you see the landlord, you know you're behind in your rent. What do? Right? Why? Because you're not in right standing with your landlord. Right? So when you're not in right standing, you want to run and hide, thinking that landlord's going to say, hey, you're not in right standing. Your account is in the arrears. You're not paid up. Right? But then what happens if you have a landlord, you got a leaky faucet, something's wrong in your apartment, and you got a landlord and you know you're paid up. When they come walking by, you're not running and hiding. You're going, hey, I got a leaky faucet. You're not afraid of the landlord. No, I'm not saying you're mean. I'm not saying you're mean or rude. I'm just saying, but you're bold. You're saying, hey, I got a leaky faucet. And if you could just get that fixed, I got company coming over. I need to get these things fixed. In other words, you're bold, you're confident. That's what righteousness does for a believer. Because as long as you have a sin consciousness, as long as you feel like, oh man, I messed up, I'm just a worthless worm, you know, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We don't sing that here. We sing the song, but we don't sing wretch. Why? Because we're not wretches anymore. I don't even want that kind of mentality getting into this church, because I am not an old sinner anymore. I am not a wretch anymore. I used to be an old sinner. I used to be wretched in my ways. But I'm not looking at my actions. I'm not looking at my works. I'm not looking at righteousness because of what I've done. I'm looking at the precious blood of Jesus, that he came and died on a cross for me, so I don't have to live in that sin nature any longer. Amen. Glory to God. Go with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at this. This is awesome. I want to get that sin consciousness out of you, because that sin consciousness is holding you back from so much of what God has for you. It's holding you back from your healing. Why? Because if you've got a sin consciousness, you don't think you deserve to be healed. And if you don't think you deserve to be healed, then you don't really know who God is. You know, well, I'm just not worthy. Really? Then if you're not worthy, then you're not saved. Let me say that one more time. I said, if you're not worthy, then you're not saved. Well, how can you dare say that, Pastor? But this is why. Because the Bible says in Romans that we were made worthy and brought near by the blood of Jesus. When we receive what Jesus did on the cross, that removes all of our sin. All of our, anything that makes us unworthy, it removes all that. I'm not talking about being arrogant and cocky, but I am talking about being confident in what the precious blood of Jesus does. And when you say, well, I know it says that, but it's just not working for me, then you're saying the blood of Jesus is not strong enough, therefore God's got to do something else. And there is nothing else to be done. You know why I know? Because when Jesus was hanging on that cross, he had his arm stretched out, nailed to a cross, and he says, "It is finished." What's finished? Everything that needed to be done for us to be redeemed, set free, sanctified. What does it mean to be sanctified? It means to be set apart. It means that now you're getting this mentality of who you are in Christ. And the devil does not want you to know that you are the righteousness of God. Because once you begin walking and living with in this righteousness mentality, not self-righteous, his righteousness. When you start walking in that, then you start doing crazy things like believing that all things are possible. Believing that you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Believing that every promise in God's word is yours. The devil don't want you knowing that. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Now, that don't mean your outside changes, right? It means that you were changed on the inside. When you get born again, it's not the outside that gets changed. It's the inside. That's why it makes you a new person. Because the salvation, as you get born again, is not just saying, okay, well, I got to make them look better. You know, I got to do something about that physical body of theirs. No, because listen, you can paint the house all you want to, but if you're not doing something about the inside, you can still be just as an ugly person. Yeah, because your disposition's off, you're mean, you're nasty. Come on, no. God wanted to deal with the heart of the matter. Yeah. So he dealt with you, the real you. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. How many are glad that he dealt with the real you? I'm glad he dealt with the real you. Hallelujah. Are you glad that he dealt with the real me? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So let's look at this. All right. So he says, anyone who belongs to Christ. Now, that's an interesting statement, right? Because it implies that there can be people who don't belong to Christ. Well, we're all the children of God, really. Well, Jesus, right here, Paul is telling us anyone who belongs to Christ, meaning there are those that do not belong to Christ, right? Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life is begun. And all of this is a gift. There's that gift word, gift again. All of this is a gift from God. So when we give our life to Christ, now we're talking about that great exchange where you didn't feel like you were worthy. You don't know how many people. It's crazy because it seems like sometimes it's hard to get church people to come to church. But you got people that, by the droves, that they want to go to church. I'm talking about lost people. They want to go to church, even some saved people. They want to come to church, but because they've sinned and they're more aware of their sin than they are of the righteousness of God, they don't feel like they're worthy and deserve to be here. So they just don't come. And it's the biggest, one of the biggest lies of the enemy. And that's why we've got to get this into people's thinking. You don't put on righteousness. You are the righteousness of God. And when it says here, it says that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creature. That word new means a new species altogether. Before Jesus came, the world had never seen anybody like us. One translation says it's a new race of people, a new species altogether. I mean, there is nobody outside of Christ. There is nobody else like us. Hallelujah. But God wants to do some amazing things, but he's got to help us to see that there's been a nature change. All right. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. All right. We're almost done. Ephesians chapter 2, let's read this. Because if we can get that, if we can help you to see that you've had a nature change, it'll affect the way you act. It'll affect the way you are. Right? All right, let's read this. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says this, that's chapter 1. Okay. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. Obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world, he is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So here's the deal. We're all of us, as independent as some of us might want to think we are all being controlled by somebody. We're either being controlled by the enemy and the spirits that work for him, or we're being controlled by God. Now, when I say controlled, I don't mean like making you do it. God don't make you do anything, but he influences you. You're allowing yourself, you're allowing your decisions and your ways of being, living, and being and doing to be influenced by either the enemy or by God, by Satan or by God. There are no other options. There's nothing else that's going to influence us. It's either the things for the enemy or the things of God, right? So he goes on to say, and it gets really good. Watch this. He is a spirit that is at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. See, there it is, sinful nature. It's all about the nature. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus came and died on a cross to give you a new nature. Old things are passed away. That old nature is passed away. Behold, all things have become new, right? All right. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everybody else. But God, I love that. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our own sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead.
It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we were united with him. Glory to God. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Let me read just a section of that in the Amplified. I'll just read verse 3 in the Amplified. Well, let me just read it in the Amplified. For three verses. Watch this. And you, he made alive. Now, using the Amplified because it amplifies, it kind of explains it a little bit more. And you, he made alive when you were dead by your trespass and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually. Right? In that sin. You walked habitually in that sin. You were following the course and fashion of this world, were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience. Who is that? The careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. Now watch verse 3. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh. How many know what that's like? Man, whatever your flesh says, I mean, you just give to it. But see, when you give your life to Christ, he gives you a new nature. A new nature. What is a nature? Understand this, righteousness is the life and the right and the nature of God. That's what righteousness is. In other words, God doesn't just have righteousness, he is righteousness. So when we give our life to Christ and receive Christ into our life, we're taking on the nature of God. That is the nature that empowers us to overcome the flesh and every other ungodly thing. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let me just share this with you. Awesome. So here's what nature means. It means the essence, the essential qualities or attributes of a thing which constitute what that thing is. That's what the nature of a thing is, right? So we got this. You think about a dog. A dog has a nature. Woof, woof, right? That's what a dog does. Anybody ever got mad at their dog for barking? Right? What are we doing? We're getting mad at him for expressing his nature. What about a cow? Mm. Right? You like that? What if you heard a dog trying to moo like a cow? You're going to know something's wrong. Yeah? Right? All right? Then you got this thing called the nature of man, where man just wants to live by the indulgences of his flesh. Whatever the flesh demands, that's what the man wants to do. Mankind, I'm talking about, not just males. Right? But Jesus came to give us a nature that helps us to overcome the demands of the flesh. Right? Whatever that indulgence is, whether it be alcohol or drugs or sex or anything that's against God's word, the nature of God helps you to overcome that. To where now you're displaying, like we said in the beginning, God wants us living on a level the world is not like familiar with. They're like, whoa, how did you do that? Right? All right, listen to this. I always say it this way. A sinner is not a sinner because they sin. See, you need not get mad at sinners. I quit getting mad at sinners a long time ago. Because a sinner they're not a sinner because they sin. It's not the sin that makes them a sinner. A sinner sins because it's their nature. Right? So here, what we need to do is help them to get a new nature. We spent the last 2 or 3 weeks talking about winning the loss. What we're doing, we want to help them get a new nature. Because if they can get a new nature, the nature of God in them will help them to overcome the indulgences of the flesh, right? I want to use this story I heard recently. It's kind of cute, but it drives the point home. It's like this guy, he's driving down the road, and as he's driving down the road, he sees something in the road. And he stops and looks, and it's a snake. So he's like, he's looking at the snake, but he can tell the snake, whether it's been ran over or whatever, it's been injured badly.
So he feels bad for the snake. So he gets something. He gathers up the snake and he puts it in his car and he takes it home. And so this snake, he's got injuries. So he bandages the snake. He takes care of the snake. He feeds the snake. He keeps taking care of the snake. Eventually the snake gets back to full health and it's a powerful snake again. This is a poisonous snake. So he's taking care of this snake. Well, one night he's laying in bed and all of a sudden he feels something. The snake bites him, right? And he's like, hey, why did you, wait a minute. Why did you bite me? Why did you bite me? Look, I picked you up off the road. I bandaged you. I fed you. I nurtured you. I took care of you. I got you back to health. Why did you bite me? As he's laying there dying. Snake looks at him with just a normal look and says, hey, you knew I was a snake when you brought me in here. What's the point? You cannot change a person's nature in the natural. You can't use willpower to change a nature. It takes one thing and one thing only to change a sinful nature. It takes one thing and one thing only to change a shameful nature. And it's the nature of God. That's why we need Jesus. What is today's message about? Listen, today's message is about if you're living life without the nature of God, the only thing that's going to help you is having the nature of Christ. Jesus died on a cross to save you, to help you, to heal you, right? The Bible says that for God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that you would have life, and life to the full, till it overflows. Life in abundance, the Amplified says, to the full, till it overflows in you. But you can't have that without Jesus. Amen. If you jump down to verse 8 in Ephesians, it says this, Ephesians chapter 8, this is so powerful. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It says this, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Right? It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things you have done, so none of us can boast about it. Salvation is a gift. Listen, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, I want to give you this amazing opportunity. Man, it's the greatest decision I ever made in my life. The greatest. Better than marrying my wife as much as I love her. Better than having a son as much as I love him. This is the greatest decision I ever made in my life. And it will be the greatest decision you will ever make if you make it. But it is your decision to make. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to meet my best friend, Jesus. Because he loves you so much. And what happens is when you invite him into your life to be your Lord and Savior, there is a great exchange. There is a great exchange. I didn't go on down and read it, but I'll tell you where it is and you can go read it yourself. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, remember, any man be in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. Read a little bit further down around verse 20, and you'll see where it says that Jesus took our sin. Excuse me. Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus became our sin so that we could become the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He became it. Everything that he faced physically was nothing to be compared to the spiritual torment that he faced when he took on the sin of the whole world, past, present, and future. There can be no sin committed that Jesus' blood does not cleanse. Amen. So if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, I want to give you this opportunity. You're like, you know what? I get it, man. I just want Jesus as my Lord. I want to make that decision today to give my life to Christ. What a better day than Resurrection Sunday to begin a new journey with God. So if you're here today and you've never made that decision to follow Christ and you would like to make that decision today, I want to pray with you. And I would just ask you to simply slip your hand up right where you're at. I want to pray with you. Now, I'm not talking about if you're here and you've been living for God, but you sinned this week. No, the blood of Jesus is taking care of that. I'm talking about people who have never given their life to Christ, or you gave your life to Christ once a while back, but you've completely walked away from your walk with God. And you know you're not living for God. You know you're not living right. But you say, I want to make that decision to follow Christ today. I want you to slip your hand up right where you're at. I want to pray with you and reconnect you with God. Or if you've never made that decision, to connect you with God for the first time. Man, to walk in that new nature. Right? We don't believe in living with a sin consciousness. We don't teach sin consciousness around here. We teach freedom from it. We teach righteousness consciousness. I am made in the image of God. I don't have to live with shame. I don't have to live with guilt. I don't have to live with hurt. So if you're here today and you would like to say, sign me up. I want to live for God. I want to begin my journey with God today, or I want to continue my journey with God today. Can you help me to get reconnected? Just ask you to slip your hand up right where you're at. I'm just going to pray a simple prayer with you. We'll be on our way. Does anybody want to make that decision today? He loves you so much. The Bible says God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody? Praise the Lord. Everybody knows Jesus. That's awesome. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, go ahead and stand up on your feet. I'm not going to belabor the fact. If you're here and you're just like, I'm not raising my hand, I'm not saying anything, all you've got to do is say, Jesus, I'm ready. Come into my life. Maybe you're here and you're like, I don't want to raise my hand in front of people. I don't want to step out in front of people. Come on, listen. Jesus loves you, and all you've got to do is say, Jesus. But I will tell you this, whether you do it here today or do it some other time, it is so important, because Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10 says that if we believe in our heart that Jesus is the Christ and God raised from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but confession is made unto salvation. So it is important that if you do it here today or you do it some other time, that you let someone know, confess to someone that, hey, I just gave my life to Christ. That is so empowering. Amen. That is so empowering to do that. Amen. Yeah, one last chance. Anybody want to pray that prayer? If you want to pray that prayer with me, you want me to pray with you, just come to the front. I'll be glad to pray with you. Everybody good? All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you so much, Father, for your love. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your life, Father God. I thank you that you sent Jesus. This is the day that we celebrate that you sent Jesus to die on a cross and to be raised from the dead for us. And so, Father, I thank you for what Jesus did. We receive it today. I thank you for this room full of believers. And if there is anybody here, Lord, I just ask you continue to speak to their heart that they would make that decision to live for you. It's the greatest decision they'll ever make. So, Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for just a great day. I call everyone blessed as we go out with joy. Let us go out with joy and be filled with your peace, knowing that we are in right standing with you, walking in the confidence that you are our God and you love us and you're taking care of us. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Bless their day as they go. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday.